2023. If you're new here today, either in person or online, I want to thank you for joining us. I'm Pastor Bert, and I'm wondering if any of you are wondering about what 2024 is going to look like. Is anybody a little concerned? Are you anxious about it? Excited? Maybe a bit expectant? Anybody expectant? You know, as I was praying for you this week and what God has in store for us at 2024, I was reminded how 23 went. There seemed to be forces working actively to drive wedges between people. You notice that? They used politics, religion, finances, climate, gender, and race. Many families, friends, and federal governments became polarized over these issues, beliefs, and opinions. But I, for one, have some hope for 2024. Because no matter how the past year went, I believe that just like the Lord's mercies are new every morning, they're also new every year as well. Now, I'm not sure where we're actually at right now on the ancient Jewish calendar, but my hope is that 2024 is a year of Jubilee. Because the ancient Hebrews, for them, the year of Jubilee was a year of freedom, reconciliation, and blessing. And wow, could we ever use those three right now, right? And this is why I've chosen to speak today on unity. Because unity has a big part to play when it comes to freedom, blessing, and obviously reconciliation, right? But an even greater reason for us to look at this topic is that as you read through the Bible, you can't help but notice that it says a lot about unity amongst God's people. Because unity is very important to God. It was a prime reason, really, for the many festivals that God had ordained for the nation of Israel through the years, throughout the Old Testament portion of the Bible. It was the focus of Jesus' prayer for his followers then and today. That was recorded by his closest friend and follower named John. And the early church leader Paul seems to have written more about unity than pretty much any other subject, it seems, in his many letters that he wrote to the churches all around the Mediterranean area. And I believe that unity among God's children is so important to him that there are some things we cannot accomplish unless we are working together in unity. The biggest being the mission that he's given to his church, as recorded by one of Jesus' original followers named Matthew. He said, "Go and make followers of all people in the world. Baptize them in the name of the Father and Son and Holy Spirit. Teach them to obey everything that I've taught you, and I will be with you always, even unto the end of this age." If you're a follower of Jesus, then you're a part of his church, right? Which makes this your mission and mine, which is to help others become followers of Jesus so they can experience this new life and relationship with the God who created them and loves them, so that they can be set free from that penalty that we all fall under of not following God, which the Bible says is death. And instead, they can receive a new life, an eternal life, by following Jesus. But the reality is, folks, none of us can do this on our own. I can't do this. You can't do this all. We need to work together within our own church family here, but also within every congregation that composes the greater church of Devon. We need the fellowship and partnership that we have as well with the Pentecostal Assemblies of Canada, of which we're affiliated. Right? And we need every other single person on this planet that is a follower of Jesus in order to fulfill his great commission. We need each other. We need them. They need us. I want you to turn to your neighbor and say, I need you. Please don't sing it. I need thee, oh, I need... No, not like that. Now turn and say, you need me. Yeah. We need each other, right? You and I all need to do our part if we want to accomplish the Great Commission. It's why it's so important for all of us to be in unity together, in fellowship together, working together, encouraging each other. I believe nothing releases God's blessing upon our lives and our land more than when God's people are united in heart and purpose. And this is what was needed today more than ever in our world, in our country, in our community. And that's why we're going to look at it today. From one of the many psalms written by the most famous king of Israel, David the shepherd boy, right? Listen to what he wrote. Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brothers to dwell together in unity. It's like the precious oil of consecration poured on the head, coming down on the beard, even the beard of Aaron, the first high priest. Just so you know, that means beards are holy, okay? You got that? Good. Hope you're following with me there. Coming down upon the edge of his beardly robes, consecrating the whole body. It is like the dew of Mount Hermon coming down on the hills of Zion. I know I lost you already, didn't I, on that one? For there the Lord has commanded his blessing, life forevermore. If you're unfamiliar with the ancient texts of the Psalms, they're songs that were written for worship, for celebration, for the Hebrew people a long, long time ago. But even though they go back literally thousands of years, many of them, including this song, are still sung today in the Jewish festivals that they still hold. And this is because the topics they cover and the truths they declare are just as relevant today as they were thousands of years ago when they were written. Which should make us pay, I think, some special attention to David's words to us today. When we take a closer look at David's lyrics here, remember this is a song, we see that the point he's making is really encapsulated in the opening and closing lines of his song. Let's take a look at that. He says, behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brothers to dwell together in unity, for there the Lord has commanded the blessing, life forevermore. This is David's point here, that when God's people are united in heart and purpose, God works through them, bringing his blessing of eternal life. But like the artist David is, he doesn't just make his point, but also provides us with two similes to help get his point across. And so we're going to take the next few minutes to discover the scope of what David is saying here in this song of unity. The first thing we read is that unity brings God's anointing. It brings his anointing. So David's first illustration, as we read, mentions precious oil being poured out, right? Being poured out. Throughout the Bible, oil is used as a symbol that refers to the Holy Spirit, to God's Spirit. In the text, we have a picture here, right? And of oil being poured out upon the head of Aaron, who is the high priest, the first high priest of Israel. This is what is known as being anointed with oil. To the Hebrew people, an anointing represented a divine dedication or a consecration to a sacred task, something God had expressly told someone to do. When God explained to Moses how his people were to worship, he established a priesthood to lead them, to teach them, and to perform what was required in his law. And part of the preparation for those who would be priests was for them to be anointed with a specially prepared oil. And in his first letter to the early church, John says that the same thing is actually true of all of those who follow Jesus. He writes, "You have had the Holy Spirit poured out on you by Christ. And so all of you know the truth." This shows that when a person puts their faith in Jesus, believing that he came and he died to remove the stain of sin from their life, and then rose again to have eternal life with him, Jesus seals that relationship with those people by coming and dwelling in us by his Spirit. And so in the ancient times, God chose specific people, right, to perform his holy work. He now consecrates and dedicates his entire church, you and I, to carry on Jesus' work of restoring people's relationship with God. The early church leader, Paul, again, who I mentioned earlier, put it like this in his letter to the church that was in Corinth, Greece. He said, "Whoever is a believer in Christ is a new creation. The old way of living has disappeared. A new way of living has come into existence. God has done all this. He has restored our relationship with him through Christ and has given us this ministry of restoring relationships, or reconciling people to him." In other words, God was using Christ to restore his relationship with humanity. He didn't hold people's faults against them. And he has given us this message of restored relationships to tell others. Folks, the work of reconciliation, the work of restoring relationships with God, is no longer reserved for an elite order of priests. It's the work of us all. And within this fact, we can find God's emphasis on unity. What do I mean? Well, I mean that through Jesus' death and resurrection, he did away with the religious law that separated people from God and one another. Listen to how Paul put it in his letter to the church in Ephesus. He said, "Christ himself has brought us peace by making Jews and Gentiles," that's non-Jews, "one people. With his own body, he broke down the wall that separated them and kept them enemies. He abolished the Jewish law with his its commandments and rules in order to create out of the two races one new people in union with himself, in this way making peace. By his death on the cross, Christ destroyed their enmity. By means of the cross, he united both races into one body and brought them back to God." I love that. God brought us back into unity with himself and with one another through our mutual faith in Jesus. And anyone who's a true follower of Jesus has the very same anointing of his Spirit in their lives. When it comes to the family of God, there's no difference between rich or poor, between those from the east or the west, from the pastor to the janitor. We are all one in Christ. And this is the beauty that David illustrates in referring to the oil running from the top of Aaron's head right down to the hem of his garment. Those two diametrically opposed positions on his body are brought into unity by the anointing of God's Spirit. Isn't that a beautiful picture? I think it is. Okay, maybe one of you did. I don't know. I think it's amazing. How he brings the Holy Spirit in us is what unites us and brings us together. I think David thought it was pretty neat too, actually, because he uses a similar strategy in his second illustration by comparing two well-known landmarks in Israel. And in this simile, we find our second point. Unity breathes God's refreshing. Unity breathes God's refreshing. David first mentions Mount Hermon. I think we've got a picture of it there, which is the geographic monarch of Israel. It lies to the extreme north and towers so high that it keeps its snow-capped crown year-round. It's the source of the mighty Jordan River, which supplies the life-giving water for the entire nation. Through the day, its snow-filled upper valleys moisten the atmosphere, which is carried on the winds and descends through the night as heavy dew upon the lower hills to the south of it. Look at our text again. It says, it's like the dew of Mount Hermon coming down on the hills of Zion. So David uses Hermon as a symbol of the resources of heaven, the refreshing, the empowering, life-giving blessings from the throne of God. In contrast, everything that Hermon is, Mount Zion is not. Zion rests south in arid Judea, on the edge of the Sinai Desert. Have we got that picture? Just to give you show you the contrast. Yeah, it's a low mountain, isn't it? Really not much more than a hill. Water must be brought up to it from the valleys below. It's a dry and barren place and has really no more apparent significance than any other hill around it. However, of all the mountains in Israel, it is the most in need of heaven's blessing, for upon it sat the temple of God. Like Zion, you may feel no more significant than anyone else around you. Life can sometimes make us feel that way, right? Like we're living on the edge of a desert, dry, a barren place. And the only refreshing that we may seem to get would be when maybe, you know, something's brought by someone else. Somebody else refreshes us through a timely phone call, perhaps, an encouraging text, maybe a soothing prayer, or during our corporate gatherings. Yet you are of infinite significance and worth because you're a follower of Jesus. And you are, in fact, the temple of God. The Holy Spirit now dwells in you. You are like Mount Zion, right? The world around you may be dry and barren, but God brings his refreshing upon you each and every day. Exactly what you need. The ancient preacher Jeremiah said it like this: it is only the Lord's mercies that have kept us from complete destruction. Great is his faithfulness. His loving kindness begins afresh each day. As I said earlier, some English translations say, his mercies are new every morning. His refreshing is new every morning. Sort of sounds like the dew from Mount Hermon, doesn't it? Upon Mount Zion. I don't know what you've been through in this past year. Perhaps it's felt like you've been living in that desert place. The heat's been turned up a little bit too much, perhaps. Maybe you're not sure if you're even going to be able to make it through it much more. Can I encourage you to hold on? Like every problem you have ever faced in the past, this too shall pass. And for those who've put their faith in Jesus, God's refreshing is coming. He never forgets his family. Times of trouble will pass. Sorrow may last for a night, but joy comes in the morning. Amen. Which brings us to the application of this text and our third point. Unity bestows God's blessing. Unity bestows God's blessing. Do you remember the wind I mentioned that brought the dew of Hermon over the arid mountains to the south? Well, wind in the Bible happens to be another symbol referring to the Holy Spirit. And as we've seen today, every follower of Jesus has the Spirit of God living within them. Amen? So God has commissioned us as his church to bring the blessing of him, his blessing, to a dry people. We are the carriers of his blessing. All throughout the Bible, we see God giving his people this mandate. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Yep. Jeremiah also wrote, work to see that the city where I sent you as exiles enjoys peace and prosperity. Pray to the Lord for it, for as it prospers, you will prosper. Because I believe this is going to be, 24 is going to be a year of blessing. It's going to be a year of refreshing. It's going to be a year of momentum. I want to start it with prayer. So through the four Sundays in January, each Sunday night, we're going to take time to pray for 1 hour here at the church. And I'll mention more about that next week, but I want you to try to write that into your calendar right now. For 1 hour each Sunday night through January, we're going to pray together for God's refreshing. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face, turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven. I will forgive their sin. And I'll heal their land. We need to pray to the Lord for it, Jeremiah says. Pray for peace, pray for prosperity. Now, this is interesting. The original Hebrew word that's translated as prosperity in this text, you've probably heard it before, shalom, which is typically associated with what? Peace, right? But it actually refers to the overall well-being of our souls, of our bodies, of all of us, right? Our minds. It's about being prosperous in our emotions, prosperous in our health, prosperous in our relationships. Not just our finances. Although we'd probably take some more of that too, right? No? You got enough? Good. Forgiveness. Healing. Peace of mind. Wholesome well-being. These are the blessings that come to a community when the church works together in unity to fulfill our mission. We are called to pray for and go to the people of our town, our nation, and the whole world, bringing the good news of God's love for them. And even as Mount Zion is wholly dependent upon the direction the wind is blowing, so are the people around us, dependent upon you and me to bring God's blessing to them. But maybe you're here, or you're watching today online, and maybe you're the one that's thinking, boy, I could sure use some of that. You're looking for the forgiveness, healing. You're looking for God's shalom. You're hoping that 2024, maybe will be a new beginning for you. Well, it can be. If you choose to follow Jesus today, God wants you to be a part of his family. That's why Jesus came and died, for you, to pay the price that was required for you to be free from the punishment of sin. Paul put it like this in a letter to the Roman church. The payment for sin is death, but the gift that God freely gives is everlasting life found only in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Basically, Paul's saying that the reason we die is because of sin, which occurred because each of us have gone against God's best for us. But by dying in our place, Jesus made a way for us to be reconciled, for our relationship with God to be restored, so we can live with him forever. So if you'd like to have that relationship with God and start off 24 within that place, experiencing his presence and blessing in your life throughout the year, then all you have to do is believe what Jesus did for you, who he is and what he did for you. Accept his offer of a new life with him and just let him lead you. If you want to do that, I'm going to help you by leading you in short prayer to God right now. As we all bow our heads, you can just pray along silently with me, and God will hear you as he knows your heart. Dear God, I admit I haven't been living for you. I've been doing things my own way, not even really giving you much thought in my life. And I'm sorry for that. Please forgive me and make me right with you, restored with you, reconciled to you. I believe that Jesus came to earth to show me the only way to God by dying to pay for my sin. But right now, I ask him to be the Lord of my life from this moment on. I pray that you'd help me to experience and share your refreshing, your blessing, and your salvation each and every day of my life to those around me who, so they can experience your love for them through me. Thanks, God. Thanks for saving me and making me a part of your church, your forever family. Amen. The band comes back. We finish up with another song. If you did pray that prayer for the first time, would you please let me know? You can fill in the connect card that's in the back of the seat in front of you and drop it in the offering box on your way out or hand it up to me. I'd love to chat with you. Or maybe if you're online or you've got the Bible app, your church app, pardon me, you can fill it in on there as well, and we'll get that as well at the office. So, love to connect with you, provide some resources, and just see if we can help you in any other ways. All right. With that, I'm going to say thank you again for joining us, folks. And I guess we'll see you next week, or did I say next year? Right?